Hey guys, and welcome to the Paint It Black podcast. Hope you all enjoyed the bonus episode for the Dark Knight Returns, and we are back with our regular episode. My name is Pete Berg, and joining me as always, Mr. Brian Katz.
What's up?
Mr. Lou Figueroa.
Hey.
And returning as our guest this week, host of the A-Squad podcast, which we actually just recorded a great episode of, Mr. Dan Pilkar.
I'm just whoring myself all over the place.
Get that voice out there, man.
You know it.
So we just did an episode of your show. I feel pretty good about it.
Mm-hmm.
And when will that be up?
Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Probably right after work.
Right after work. So just to recap our schedule, Paint It Black podcast up every Monday.
Sunday afternoon is Disenfranchised.
Disenfranchised.
And A-Squad is Tuesday.
A-Squad every
A-Squad's
Tuesday.
A-Squad's Tuesday in true tradition of video games. They come out Tuesday, people.
Good call. And that's why when I actually do finally get my geek show started, it's coming out Wednesday when all the comic books come out.
Also because Sunday through Tuesday are taken.
Good point. Yeah, good work trying to make it seem like it was intentional. All right, so let's get right into it. Let's go and do some news to some. These are news stories that may not be news stories to everybody, but we find them interesting. And this one comes to us from Yahoo News. And our headline, Applebee's waitress canned after posting pastor's tip.
It's ridiculous that this the receipt that was on the bill, this pastor wrote, I give 10% to God, why do you get 18% gratuity? Because it was added.
And then left her what, like $6?
She didn't leave her anything. Gratuity was added. She wrote zero.
All right, I'm looking at the notes right now, Lou's notes, because honestly, I just stayed for my podcast. I have no idea what's going on.
Wait, that's all we're asking. Jump in.
The beer's still
Chime
free.
Chime in.
The
Crack
beer's
wise.
Free at Paint It Black Studios, people. Anyone wants to show up?
Damn straight.
Anyway, the total was $34.93.
Big spender.
It said tip 18% on the card, and it actually, she crossed that out and gave whatever the hell she wanted. My question is, she only gives 10% to God. Isn't she supposed to give 100% to God?
That was
is
my that, initial thought with this.
Isn't that the
As
deal?
A pastor, aren't you supposed to give everything you got to God?
Well, the guy only gets 10% from that bitch.
Wow. And who's getting 90%, pastor?
His pockets.
Applebee's.
Her pockets, I should say.
Oh, my God.
She's,
she must be a Catholic priest.
So shortly after this happened, the server was promptly fired. Her name was Chelsea Welch. And she was fired for, quote, embarrassing someone who directly insults their server on religious grounds. I don't think that's right. I think you have asshole customers all the time, no matter what business you're in. Let her. If she's been screwed.
On religious grounds? It's not like.
No. In any grounds. And religion shouldn't.
I'm saying they fired her for, you said religious grounds.
Yes. Fired for, quote, embarrassing somebody who directly insults their server on religious grounds.
They should fire that pastor for embarrassing a religion on any grounds.
Being cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty pathetic. And I do believe she put out a statement, it just says Pastor Bell.
It's a she.
It's a she?
Yeah.
Aloise Bell of the World Deliverance Ministries Church in Granite City, Illinois. She did actually put out a statement where she apologized for embarrassing her parish.
Well, she should. She should apologize to the fucking waitress. She should say, oh, hire her back because that was uncalled for. Like, if you look at the receipt, man, it's just shitty. She's only talking about $6 that she tipped.
Especially, like, if you look, and you could find this online, the actual image of the receipt. She wrote in the word pastor as if it was an afterthought. It's kind of dropped on top of it, like written over other words.
Oh, she thought that would give her like some kind of pass?
I guess so. I don't know what this woman was thinking or how cheap she is, but
it says I only give God 10%. Why should you get 18? But she gave her zero from what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
She gave her nothing.
That was
a tip.
That's additional tip. But the there was a big party. They broke it up into like several receipts and her, I don't know, she's one lady, I guess. She ate $34 worth of food at Applebee's, so she's a big girl. And she fucking, the 18% was added because of the amount of people at the table.
There's a couple apps
Which
in there.
Which should be.
Yeah. So, I mean, really, when you're talking about, you know, $6, I don't know what she flipped out about.
Yeah. So, my question, all right. So she
Oh, wait. She gave her 18% already, and then no additional tip.
Gratuity added, and she crossed out the gratuity. And wrote in zero.
Okay, but she was already giving 18%.
She had to give 18%. There was no like.
But she right, but she was already doing it.
Well, she had to. She didn't have a choice. If she fucking had a choice, she'd give her fucking.
It's 10. Cheap. It's cheap. I usually give 20 to 25.
The point is,
I know people who give less than 18.
The point is, that's a dick move. That's a dick move by Pastor Bell.
She could have just said 0%, and like, the lady wouldn't have posted up the receipt. She would have just been like 0%, and yeah, that's it. Like,
so my question is, who's in the wrong here? Is it the shitty customer or is it the server for posting it? Because I'm in full agreement with the server, Miss Welch, who put this up there, because I think we should start shaming.
Let's joke.
If
cool
you're a piece
shaming.
Of shit, shame the person.
It's just like if anything. If you had to meet everyone face to face on the internet, you talk shit to, there'd be a lot less talking shit on the internet. They call people out. I'm fine with that.
Call people out. It shouldn't cost you your job.
I'm fine with it too. Quick story: Giant Shock and I once went out with a
Brian on this
me,
show.
You can call me Brian.
Brian. Yeah. And I once went out on a show. You can still call me Rise, by the way.
Okay, Dan.
We went out one time to Applebee's, and the tip, I think, actually slipped to the side, and the waitress came out and yelled at us for not tipping at her enough, and we didn't get her fired. We were like, wait a second, there must be some mistake, because we
exactly.
You
did
fat.
The decent human thing, and you left her a good tip and explained yourself and didn't leave until that tip was paid, I'm sure.
Well, we found the tip. It was under the table. But at the same time, I totally agreed with her coming out there.
Put yourself in her position.
Yeah.
And the whole thing here where it says insults her server on religious grounds, should that be a pass?
But she didn't insult her on religious grounds. The lady added the pastor thing. That's inconsequential.
But that's what I mean. Like, she wrote that on there expecting a pass. Like, I'm a pastor. I don't need to pay you this much.
She's not a cop. It's not. She's getting free coffee. Like, fuck her.
Right. Rise like Phoenix calls dick move.
Dan says dick move. Okay. Yeah, it's fucked up, and I think that this pastor should be shamed.
Yeah, absolutely.
She was shamed. She had to go on all these talk shows. Well, I mean,
were there talk shows involved?
I didn't see any.
Yeah, it was on Yahoo. She went on Fox, and then she went on some much low budget show, like with some random lady, you know, and she was the whole time, it was about a 10-minute interview, and the whole time she was basically saying, I do all this stuff, you know. I preach the word of God, and she didn't say I was sorry to the waitress or anything like that. And she didn't talk about like how, you know, she said she made a mistake, but she didn't say like I'm sorry for it.
She made a mistake. She wrote out an entire
no, not like she didn't mean to do that, but she made a mistake by doing that. But she didn't say I'm sorry for doing it. I'm sorry that girl got fired. I shouldn't have been a dickhead.
Mm-hmm.
She just kept saying I do so much work for the church. And
this holier than thou fuck. Yeah. Decided to pull this shit, and now a young lady is out of a job.
Yeah, I mean,
how Christian is that?
It's not very Christian at all. I mean, you always see the a lot of the Christian people doing the most unchristian things a lot of times, you know.
Oh yeah, I actually addition to it, I used to deliver pizzas to Mariah Carey's mother.
Really?
When I was younger, and the only reason I know that is because she used to tell me every single time I delivered her a pizza. And she thought for some reason that story was enough to tip me $1 every time. She would just be like, I know Mariah's coming by. And I was just like, I'm getting $1. I know.
I know it doesn't come across on an audio podcast, but I'm just shaking my head in disgust.
It was awful.
It's horrible.
It was awful.
So tip your waitresses. Mm-hmm. That's what we're saying.
Mariah Carey, you owe me like $50. Your mom ordered like every week.
That's a direct call out to Mariah Carey.
I mean, anyone in the service industry that does their job or does it above average, just give them a nice tip. There's no reason not to.
How does it hurt?
I usually give 20-25% like Dan over here, but I'll sometimes be a dick, and like if this person was a terrible server, I'll give him like a shitty like 12% tip.
I've given a penny once when the guy didn't come to me once. It took me a half an hour to get it, and then he just, I guess he left or something, but I didn't get one more beer or anything like that, so I get paid.
Was that at the diner in the Borgata? Because they are notorious for just leaving you there sitting there. Like,
it wasn't. That's an oddly specific question, out-of-state question, but no, it wasn't. It was at Okie Dokie.
At Okie Dokie.
Okie Dokie's.
Yeah.
Now, see, even if I have a bad server, I still leave the appropriate amount.
No.
Really? Maybe shy him a buck or two?
Shy him a buck.
Just as a you know, a message.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Like, get your shit together. You could have $2 more.
You guys are suckers. Interesting note.
I actually just have respect for people who are in the service industry. Just be,
interesting
know,
note, after delivering so much food, I actually give my delivery boys 30% because people don't realize your server nowadays, they have people walk out the food that's not them. They stop by once and they're like, yo, you guys good on drinks? All right, bye. Me, I had to pack your shit up. I had to get in my car. I had to waste my gas. I had to drive to your house.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing way more. Not nowadays. Nowadays, I am not a pizza delivery boy. But I was doing way more.
He's a Chinese delivery boy.
Right. Right. Chinese delivery. But I was doing way more than any other waitress. And I think it's a shame that people give these delivery guys, especially since the gas has went up, they give them $2. Oh, absolutely.
I don't really tip the delivery guys too much.
Of course you don't. Scumbag. No, but you weren't in the industry. You don't realize. You don't think about it.
In the industry? Like,
yeah.
Any soul could be in that industry, bro. Though.
All right, but at the same time, if I gave you a fucking moped and gave you $2 worth of gas and told you to drive down to the pizzeria and back, you couldn't even do it. Like, so why are you giving them $2?
What are you talking about? I'd be like, I quit.
Right. Right.
Yo, man, pizza, like pizza or Chinese, I'll especially tip Chinese people, but fucking pizza delivery, man, like it's like $3 or $4. If there's one pizza delivery, I'll give a guy like $6-7, and that's because he's coming from far away.
30% for delivery. That's what I do.
Yeah, why not?
Pay it forward.
You got the money,
right? Pay it forward.
Pay it forward.
All right. Well, let's go to. I think we've said everything that we need to say on that topic.
Right.
Let's go to our next segment: stupid people. And that is exactly what the title implies.
Oh, that wasn't the old?
Oh, well, that was a stupid person, but that was more of a news story. This one I just found amusing, and as soon as you hear the headline of it, Florida tow truck driver arrested on drug charge after pocket dialing 911.
What are you getting arrested for?
So this guy comes out of Orange City, Florida. He's a 19-year-old truck driver, Matthew Dollarhide.
That's not his real name.
That's all I got in the news story. Matthew Dollarhide.
Is he a Wild West villain or something?
Apparently, he comes straight from Deadwood. So this guy's driving down the street. He decides he's going to have a conversation about a drug deal that he's doing, some crack thing. And in his pocket, he doesn't realize he's dialed 911. So the dispatchers are actually listening to him have this conversation. So he pulls into his stop. In, I have it here, Volusia County, and the police are waiting for him. And on his person, they find a crack pipe and quite a bit of drugs, various drug paraphernalia, which he said belonged to his dad.
Wow.
That's just my dad. Try
and sell it, you pops.
Exactly.
That's my dad's, bro. I don't even know about that drug. What's your name? Dollarhide?
When was the last time you pocket dialed anybody?
Or 911 for that.
Especially 911.
Right.
That's a very unfortunate circumstance.
Not since I had a Nokia. You're a drug dealer. Get an iPhone. You can't pocket that.
Was it a burner phone or something like that?
Maybe. That's a good point.
What unfortunate soul pocket dials a drug deal to the cops? That is just serious. Like, he must be laughing stock in jail.
What was he talking about? I don't understand. He was talking on another phone about a drug deal?
I guess maybe it doesn't just really specify here.
I can't wait to get to this drug deal.
I've got some crack. Those long trips can be very, very, very boring if you don't entertain yourself.
I guess.
Well, apparently, let's see. I'm reading the thing here. They don't really go into it, who he was talking to.
Was there someone else found in his car?
But he did stupidly say that he was going to Harry's Towing, which is where they picked him up. So he actually mentioned the name of his business. Pulled up, and they were waiting for him.
What kind of sentence do you think he said? I'm going to Harry Towing for a drug deal.
Yeah, this is
I'm going to buy crack
right.
at Harry's Towing. That's at 922 Main Street, right. Volusia right. County.
He's probably going through his like itinerary. Like, at 9 a.m., I'm going to get some breakfast.
Yeah, this
10 a.m., crack at Harry's Towing.
Yeah, this is Matthew Dollarhide. I'm going to be at Harry's Towing around 1.
Will you have crack ready? Crack,
right, who's he talking to? I like Lou's idea where he's just going through an itinerary and he's like, I'm getting a Rudy Tootie at IHOP with pineapple on top. Then 2:20, I'm going to the crack deal and the cops are like, wait a second, go back. There's pineapple in the Rudy Tootie, and they're like, no, the other one, the crack deal.
My guess is he probably had two phones, because it does specify that he was having a conversation. He was probably talking to a friend and did maybe have a burner in his pocket or
had
something.
Because
you can't really pocket dial from a smartphone. They lock.
I like to think that when they were dragging him off, he kept talking to the third person. Was like, You ain't got nothing on Matthew Dalahad. Matthew Dalahad, bigger raps than this.
Matthew Dalahad, don't play this game.
I like to think that he pocket-dialed his parents when he's getting taken away. And he's like, this day never ends.
While he's selling out his dad,
right,
too.
Right. He's like, it's my dad's crack pipe.
His daddy's like, motherfucker, right. Rat me out.
It's Bill Dalahad.
It's Bill Dalahad. Bill Dalahad.
Bill.
I love it.
That's like a Scrooge McDuckish kind of
right.
character.
And his brother George W. Dalahad.
George W. Dalahad. Yo, D-Hide.
Well, that was our stupid person of the week.
His name is the best part of that.
Now, yeah. I have noticed a trend. Last week's stupid person, also cell phone related.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, she fucking fell into the water.
So yeah, maybe. Dummies should just not keep a cell phone on their person.
It's goddamn Apple and their amazing phones.
Speaking of phones. And now we have a dummy at this table whose phone is interfering.
When I turned off that speaker, it went.
By the way, if anyone wants to get in touch with Justin Herman of Farmingdale, New York, that's his number.
Former guest of the show.
There you go.
A quick story about that.
I might try to bleep that.
Quickly just happened right there. I just bought this new speaker box, and I Bluetoothed it to my phone. My phone's on silent. You didn't hear the phone. What you heard was the speaker box saying out the motherfucker's number.
Right.
I forgot those two were synced.
That's great. Well done. All right, so let's go into what we like talking about the most. And as a comic book company and podcasting network, we like talking about entertainment. So let's go straight into
stories, right? Stories.
Yeah.
There you go.
Stories, movies, comics, TV shows, what have you.
Bitches.
Bitches. Mm-hmm. Let's go right into price of admission. These are the movies coming out this week, released this past Friday or this past week. And I'm going to ask you guys if you would pay to see them. First up this week, we have Stand Up Guys. It's a crime thriller with Al Pacino, Alan Arkin, and Christopher Walken. Three aging con men reunite for one last hurrah before one of them takes on a deadly final job. I don't know if anybody's heard of this. This one snuck completely past me.
Theaters? It's in theaters?
In theaters.
Mm. Yes, yes.
Directed by Fisher Stevens.
Why isn't Schwarzenegger and Stallone in this movie?
Right? Sounds like the Expendables of boring movies.
I don't know. It's De Niro and Walken haven't done a good movie in a minute.
Walken did Seven Psychopaths.
I haven't seen that yet, but the last several movies he's been in were super unrememorable.
What are his last few?
I don't remember.
The last movie I could tell you that I really liked Christopher Walken in was like Suicide Kings.
Wow.
Mm.
Forever ago.
He was great in that.
That's a good movie, but still, that's an old movie.
He's like got some cameos that are pretty funny now. He's kind of a joke.
I have kind of a soft spot for Balls of Fury for some reason.
Balls of Fury, that was funny.
He's kind of funny in that movie.
Then Pacino, man, I think he's coming off of Glenn and Glinda's the success of that. So I mean,
which one?
That's an Adam Sandler movie.
That's not Glenn and Glinda.
Oh, that's the original movie. It's Jack and Jill.
Jack and Jill.
Oh, Jack.
You gave it a way more advanced name.
Wow. That's the original movie it's copying off of. Yeah, Jack and Jill.
But he's still Pacino.
Oh, was he?
He was
that?
Pacino.
His name carries some weight.
No, it does. I think he's done a couple of movies with 50 Cent now, too.
Yeah.
They're all kind of jokey guys now. They used to be serious, and I kind of think that the new generation, at least, would be considering them jokes.
They're jokey now. Like, I don't think that movie's going to do that well. And I'm not that interested in seeing it because, I mean, it's another one of these things where it's like, let's get a couple of big-name actors who are over the hill, pop them into, like, this world where they're old con men, and you're basically going to the movie because you like those actors.
Well, like old dogs? Like, get some old
Copland.
Well, before we weigh in, I should add that it has a Rotten Tomato score of 36%, which is pretty dismal.
Yeah. It looked pretty terrible, though. And plus, you know, Pacino looks like a fucking walking corpse now.
Yeah, he's aged pretty roughly.
He is going to perish any day now.
The media
I don't know
killed
about
him.
Perish. He's a good actor. I like him. He's done some good movies.
I think the media portrayal of him actually killed him for me with the slips in his shoes to make himself seem taller.
A little taller.
Cotton shit.
Little
Freddy
does that, doesn't he?
Oop.
Yeah.
Little Freddy.
We love him anyway.
We got to get him on.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to throw a shout out to his 30th birthday coming up soon.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday. You're not listening, but I hope you feel the vibes.
Well, okay, so let's go around. Brian, you said no.
Yeah, it's, I think it's gonna be bad more than it's just gonna be super forgettable.
I think you're right, Dan.
Any actor you named in there is not pulling me into a movie anymore. Walken, I'll smile that he's gonna be in a movie with somebody else that I care about.
And Lou, I can assume you're Jerry. Yay.
You know, I look at those two guys, and they remind me more of like the crotchety old guys on the Muppets.
Oh. Two guys sitting in the balcony.
If they want to do a remake of Grumpy Old Men, they could do it. Yeah.
Just put guns in their hands, and that's what the movie.
If Walken was doing a comedy, I'd go see it. Like if he was doing a comedic role, but this seems it's just like an action type.
He was good in Catch Me If You Can, also.
Well, they're con men. They're not like hitmen in this movie. So it might be more intrigue than shoot 'em up.
I think it's going to be forgettable. We'll never.
I'm
ever
not
talk
intrigued.
About, I'll put it right now that we will never talk about this movie again in our lives.
Probably won't.
No.
What about like on demand? If you saw it on demand, no, Netflix, would you jump on
I'm
it?
I'm not demanding that at all.
No.
Maybe I might check it out if it's on HBO or Showtime or something like that. But I'm not paying to see this movie.
I'd watch 20 minutes to see if Christopher Walken cracks a joke. If he does, then I'm out.
Unless someone gave me like a super great review about it.
Right.
Other than that, no.
The only way I'd watch this is if I fell asleep watching something else.
And then woke up during it?
And it was too lazy to find the remote.
Yeah. I've watched some shitty movies in that way. So stand-up guys, I think an all-around meh.
Meh.
No. Nah, I was excited for a second. I thought you were going to say it was Louis C.K., Aziz Ansari.
Like stand-up comedian
guys? Yeah, that's what I thought.
I'd watch that in a hot second.
That sounds much better.
Yeah.
Let's get that. Let's get that on the menu.
All right. Well, let's jump to the next one. This is another one this one's a little bigger, actually. And I saw the trailer, and it kind of warmed me to it. If you told me the concept a few months ago, I would have said no. And it's Warm Bodies, which is the I call it Twilight Zombies.
No. It looks funny.
It's the relationship between a young woman and a zombie who saves her from an attack. I will watch this strictly for the zombie portion. I should also say that director Jonathan Levine also did a movie I'm very fond of, 50-50, with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Seth Rogen.
Yeah, the cancer movie?
Yeah, the cancer movie.
It was good.
That was a good movie. And the Rotten Tomato score is surprisingly high, 77%.
It looks funny, man. They got John Malkovich in it.
Yeah, but Malkovich, he'll throw in for some shit.
Yeah, he seemed in Red. He was funny in Red. He's funny in everything he does. I really enjoy John Malkovich.
Rob Corddry's in it.
Corddry is in it. Fuck. That's
gold.
True.
Solid gold.
But in a role where he's really not going to have any lines.
It's pretty jokey. I mean, like, the premise of the movie is pretty hackneyed.
It's pretty silly, right?
And
it's basically, we got to admit, it's cashing in on the monster romance.
Oh,
genre.
But it totally flips it on its head.
Wow.
It's
supposed to be funny. First of all,
it's a comedy.
I've heard there's a lot of holes in the plot. I've watched this one. I've watched this one just for the fact that he seems incredibly sentient in the voiceovers and, for a zombie.
And not rotted in the least. He's slightly pale.
Right.
I forget the actor's name, but I did enjoy him in like X-Men. He played the Beast.
Well, there is a lot.
Jack and the Giant. He's gonna
I mean, there's a lot of leeway nowadays with the zombies, whether they're slow, whether they're fast, whether they're angry, whether it's not. You know, I mean, none of the zombies seem that rotted in this particular movie.
Well, in the trailer, from what I could get from the trailer, there are super rotted, super fast zombies.
Yeah, the dust of the dead.
What they actually refer to them as. Right. Clearly the villains of
the
movie. But I feel like I've already seen it. Here's my prediction. I'm going to give you the plot. He's a zombie, of course, exactly what we see in the trailer. Mm-hmm. She's running around. Her dad is John Malkovich, who's intent on killing all zombies. He's going to save her because his heart's going to start beating again. Slowly but surely, every other zombie's going to get their heartbeat when they realize how to live again, and they're going to have to get past the super rotted zombies, and then John Malkovich will accept them, the zombies will become human again, and everyone's happy.
Yeah, but that's what they showed you in the trailer.
Yeah, and that's the movie, right?
Yeah, I mean that's not a massive prediction.
There's nothing to add to that, right?
No. Well, I mean,
there could be a surprise ending.
No, they shot their load in the commercial.
Exactly. I feel like I've seen it.
Yeah, but first of all, you've never seen that. I've never seen a movie where a zombie comes back to life.
Yeah, but they gave me enough information in the trailer that I can pretty much safely say that there's not going to be any surprises.
That they're going the old Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel that. It looks funny, and I love the whole zombie genre. It has got, like you said, Rob Corddry. He's hilarious. John Malkovich makes me laugh. And I think it's going to be a fun time, man.
You know what it feels like? It feels a little bit like Zombieland, which is one of my top three.
Oh, Zombieland.
It feels a little Zombieland-ish, which I love.
Yeah, well, all right. So my summation of this one, I probably will not see this in theaters. I most likely will watch it when it comes out on some sort of streaming service, just on a whim. Brian? Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go see this flick.
Yeah. You're going to see it in theaters?
Yeah, I'll see it in theaters.
They get your 10 bucks?
Yeah, well, I think it's like 13 at this point, but yeah.
Well, plus your girlfriend, so we're talking.
Yeah. No, I'll see that. I'll see it by myself.
$25. Dan, what do you think?
I'm going to see it with Brian. Yeah. It's probably... Is it before Valentine's Day?
I think it came out
It's out this week.
Perfect.
That's why we're talking about it.
Perfect Valentine's Day.
Yeah, Valentine's Day flick right there.
Oh, man, you're going to have to buy him popcorn.
Mm-hmm. No, we'll share.
I see Lou shaking his head and rolling his eyes.
Unless I can watch it for free, I'm not putting any time into this.
But you like schlocky horror.
Yeah, but you hit the nail on the head when you said Twilight. That shit looks like Twilight with a bunch of really shitty jokes.
Oh, man, you're slaying it.
It looks terrible. And the girl, she is like a 6.
Yeah.
She looks like they dressed her like Kristen Stewart from Twilight. Yeah, she really does look like they manged up her hair and they were just like, do not smile throughout this entire
movie. That's the girl that brings the zombies back?
It's the zombie apocalypse.
That's the failing of the horror monster romance movie. It's always like has to be this perfect woman who brings them out of their monstrousness, and it's always failed.
Well, I mean,
it was
like
these fucking Twilight. Don't even get me started.
To mention that, like the girl can't be like smoking hot. I mean, they can't just have the Playmate of the Year. No, it's like, of course she wrote all
that. That would bring me back to life.
They show
it's like, oh,
got his blood flowing again. Right.
They show in the commercial. He checks her out. I was like, whoa. But I looked at her. And I'm like, ugh.
So, right, but you never saw a girl that was just kind of like cute, and you were just like, "Oh, that's probably a good fit for me," rather than just like,
"You mean?"
But that got his heart beating. That gets a zombie's heart beating again.
Yeah, why not?
Well, if
he wanted to settle, if I was the silver medal,
going back to the Twilight thing, if I was a 100-something-year-old vampire, Kristen Stewart would not even get a second glance.
Yeah, no, because I think you were all over the whole Sports Illustrated hotness at that point.
No. So he went with the downer chick who. No, emotionless?
In those movies, it's not the fact that Kristen Stewart's not the hottest chick in the world. It's the fact that that character, Bella, is boring
unlikable
and gay.
In every possible way.
She sucks. Right. She doesn't say anything. Like right. She's just constantly looking at the camera.
Right. Dan's a Twilight fan, so I'm not going to get...
I don't know if they took out lines from the book, but she don't say much in the fucking movie. She just sits there a lot and looks at him.
I'm not a Twilight
mouth
fan.
Agape. Just staring, and then there's...
I dislike the movie.
There's probably a line that... Well, you told us how much you enjoyed that last one.
No, I listen, my wife had me watch all the movies, and again, I'm going to be taking my wife to this movie for Valentine's Day. It's already in it, but yeah, the last one had a decent battle in it, at least the movies, because notoriously these movies, like every time there's a battle that's about to happen, they take this Sopranos season 5 route where...
Fade
like,
Black?
Yeah, where it's just like nothing, where there's no
fight. I heard in the second to last one, the most exciting moment is like a chess game on their honeymoon.
None of it was exciting, but at the end there's this epic vampire battle. I was like, all right, finally, we fucking kicked this bitch.
Yeah, but I heard, spoiler alert, that...
No spoiler.
Spoiler that it was a dream and it didn't count.
Right.
Heard that too.
Yeah.
Right, but you know what? They explained it well in the movie. They explained it very, very
it still
well.
Didn't
it wasn't
happen.
A dream.
That's
it
the biggest middle finger to the audience ever.
Dwayne and Garth come in. They were like, doo-doo-doo, doo-doo-doo, doo-doo-doo.
I'm not defending these movies. All right, I'm just saying I'm going to
We're
going to
get off this because we're off on a Twilight.
I'm just going to see. I don't like where this is going.
The biggest cop-out in movie history.
I'm going to jump into the next movie. Brian, this one made me think of you. It's Sylvester Stallone's Non-Expendables Return, Bullet to the Head. Directed by Walter Hill, who also directed The Warriors.
I mean, there's a little in between the jobs right there.
I'm just saying, he also did like 48 hours
he
and another 48 hours.
He also served burgers
those
for
are still
20
from like
years.
80 and 81 or something like that.
I'm just giving you some context, dude. Right. It seems like Stallone being just his Expendables character.
What's the name of it?
It's an action movie.
Bullet to the Head. And it's he's a New Orleans hitman who teams with a Washington, D.C. detective to hunt down their partner's killer. And it's based off of a graphic novel that, oddly enough, I've never heard of.
Now, let me ask you this. Whose partner's killer? His, Stallone's, or...
I didn't see the movie. I don't know.
This is just a bad description I got off Rotten Tomatoes.
His partner. I wonder if it's the hitman partner or the cop partner.
It says their partner's killer, so maybe they had a mutual partner.
That's kind of interesting. That's kind of an interesting concept. You know,
but it just looks like big guy beating up little guy. There's a fire axe in there somewhere.
I'm not going to go see this in the theaters, but it looks like... Like just like in the mid-90s, Stallone put out a bunch of pretty, you know, cool action flicks, and it probably looks like you might want to check it out action-wise.
Action-wise, maybe.
You know those tattoos in the movie? Are actually, he actually has those.
He's actually all tatted up.
Yeah, he's all tatted up now. It's not fake.
In Expendables, I thought that was just like a makeup thing.
No. That's real tattoos. Yeah. He apparently at like 68 years old, wherever he is now, he fucking got tatted up.
Who gives a fuck? You can get whatever you want at 68.
Yeah, right.
Well, no, you can't. Well, he looks good. Like, I'm saying his body.
It's all that HGH.
Well, I mean, whatever. I'll take some HGH looking like that when I'm 60. Because you got to remember, he was like 30 when he did Rocky in 76.
Might as well throw caution in the wind at that age. Who, you know, I mean, 68's not like too far, but whatever.
Start getting tattoos?
Yeah, what's the big deal?
Your body's all fucked up. Like, you're gonna express
yourself. Just said he looks good, right?
I mean, that's what I'm saying. He could do it, but, you know, that's old to be getting tattoos in general.
I got my first tattoo when I was 29 years old.
You're not even 30 yet, bro. That guy
is
like 70
years
old. He's
got 40 years on you.
Yeah.
Right.
40 plus years.
I was saying it's a little old to be doing that.
I don't think so. I think the older you get, the more you should just try and do shit like that.
The older you get, the racist, more racist you can get. That's it.
See, when you're 18 years old and you decide to get Jack Skellington in your arm, for example, that's a bad choice, you know what I'm saying?
Especially when he looks like he got run over by a steamroller.
Right.
For more on that, listen to Disenfranchised.
Especially when you roll in and you're like, hey, my name's P.T.
I just want to...
When you roll in and you're like, I got $45, but I really want Jack on my arm.
I just want to clarify, too, the Pete on Disenfranchised is not me. That's another dude.
But when you're 65 and you have multi-million dollars and you can afford the best artwork in the world, just do it. If you've always he probably always wanted to do it.
What was stopping him? He had money since the 70s.
It probably wasn't as socially acceptable in the 70s. It wasn't. He looks badass, man.
He looks great. I mean, he better than Schwarzenegger, he could pull off the action hero right now.
Yeah, I think so. Schwarzenegger looks kind of sad in that movie.
He wears a trench coat the last stand. I mean, that looked like it could be funny, but I don't know.
He looks like a tough lesbian in that movie.
Oh, yeah. I'm not into it.
He's always like, I'm too old now.
Like, got to be every other line in that.
The premise, hopefully you're not bringing that. Are you bringing that movie into play?
Which one?
The Last Stand?
No, that came out a couple weeks ago.
No, we talked about that last week.
Oh, the drug dealers just roll through the town? That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
The one thing I'm taking away from Bullet to the Head has got a sweet name. And has the guy from that HBO show,
which one?
The guy who was a Viking. He was on the Viking. I'm sorry. He was like the warlord, the Count Drago.
Khal Drago.
Khal Drago.
Also played Conan.
Yeah, he's I guess.
Jason Momoa, I want to say.
He's in that movie. He's either his partner or the bad guy, but he's I like him, and he's in that flick, too.
Okay. I think this one, I'm not going to see in theaters, but I will watch it. I'll watch it on some other capacity.
Yeah, it's definitely worth a look because it's in that like genre of action flick.
If
where...
it's based off a graphic novel and Walter Hill, who is a graphic novel devotee, will you know, I think there's enough there that it, stylistically it might work.
Yeah.
On some enjoyable level. I don't know if it's going to be the best movie ever, but I should also say 48% Rotten Tomatoes.
I would say that I wouldn't be shocked if this was a surprise movie and it was really good.
Fair enough. So pay to see it.
I'm not going to go see that.
Flick. Okay, Dan?
I'll say I'll go back and read the graphic novel.
Good point. I will probably do the same.
The movies that are off of graphic novels that I feel do well keep to a stylized, like, Sin City and stuff.
Watchmen, Sin
I
City.
I saw a slight preview on this movie. I don't want to say that I'm blind to the storyline, but I saw a little teaser. It didn't seem like they did that. It seemed like they just tried to make it a straight-up movie.
Right.
I'm not into that. You know, 300, Sin City, cool. You know, as comic book fans, as we all are, I like to see comic book movements and whatnot in the movies.
Right, you like it to kind of reflect the source material.
Sure, because they're over the top anyway. And when you see a real life movie based on an over the top story, it loses it.
Yeah, that's my problem with a lot of these graphic novel based movies that aren't, you know, superhero or kind of well known storyline based. The Losers comes to mind, or Red. Red comes to mind.
That Red and Loser were both awesome.
Yeah, I felt that they just lacked something.
Really? You like The Losers especially was great.
I was not thrilled with that movie.
I feel they just got to open arms embrace the fact that they were from a comic book genre.
Exactly. Sin City, perfect example.
Yeah, they didn't hide it.
The Losers had a comic book feel where they, every time they went to new locale, they showed you like the first page of a comic type thing where it was like...
It was so kind of... bypassed. It didn't really. I don't know. That movie was okay. It didn't really do much for me.
But that's why movies like Judge Dredd the first time around didn't work, and the second time around.
And the second time it did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Lou, I want to go to you. Bullet to the head.
So I'm not going to see it. I'm not going to pay to see it. I feel like this and his tattoos is Stallone trying not to be such an old fuck anymore.
I think he's having age issues.
He's having a mid or late life crisis.
What are you talking about?
Wishing that he wasn't half a fucking retard anymore, and this is his demolition day, you know?
Yo, he's not a retard. That guy's a genius, bro.
He's an Oscar-winning writer.
Yeah.
Well, he sounds like he fucking got hit in the head with a rock a couple times.
I think that's part of the
act.
Yeah.
Well, the cat. Sure.
I think so.
Are you going off of the Rocky movies, or are you going off of Stallone? Stallone has a specific voice, but Rocky sounded dumb.
Right.
As a character, he may be an intelligent human being,
but anything that guy says sounds fucking retarded.
I think he plays the goon role even.
I think you're being a little harsh on Mr. Stallone.
I think so, too. No. And
he was cool back in the day when, you know, cheesy action was awesome, but now he needs to stop.
I think that's his bread and butter, and I don't think that just necessarily because he's trying to. I mean, that's what he made millions and millions and millions of dollars on. I think that's just what he knows. I don't think that necessarily means he's just trying to bring back an old genre. I think that's just the only genre he knows.
Right. The bread got old.
Yeah, no,
bread and butter. Shit is rotten.
He tried to do movies like Copland that were serious. They just sucked.
Right. Well, you know,
stop
it,
or my mom will
it.
Shoot.
Comedies. Well,
Rambo. Rambo was awesome. The new Rambo was great.
Well, right.
But he was sneaking around the jungle. He wasn't straight up trying to fight 20-year-olds and be like, oh, I'm faster than you are. Fuck out of here.
He would beat any one of us up.
Oh, absolutely.
There's no shame in getting
beaten up by Rocky, dude.
I'm confident I could beat him with just a box propped up on a stick.
I would like to pay him to beat you up.
Yeah.
Right. He would walk right past that and punch you in your face.
I don't think so. He'd fucking fall in and be screaming for Adrian.
Wow, dude.
After he hit you, you wouldn't need glass anymore. He'd be perfect 20-20
vision.
He'd
be fucking screaming for Adrian.
I smell a Chuck Norris thing going
on. The next punch, we'll give him a sticking tip.
He would be clean shaven after he hit you, bro.
Referencing.
He would hit you and Dan would have your haircut. Knock it right onto him.
I at least see him do something interesting for once instead of being this old-ass man trying to be young.
You would definitely stop his movie career when he went down with that murder beef.
I think it is fair to say that
his recent movies, especially The Expendables, are really a cry of like,
no, but see,
I don't want to be old.
No, right. Those are an ode to the movies that he used to. He got all the old actors involved.
Yeah, cashing in on an ode. Expendables 1 was an ode.
What? It made money.
Expendables
2
was a cash grab.
Yeah, but if you're stressed alone and you could work with all your old boys from back in the 90s and the 80s.
And it wasn't even like he was working with his boys. He was looking for the nostalgia factor.
Yeah.
What do you mean? He did a movie.
And he totally hit it.
I was totally excited when it first came out.
And then I watched Expendables. Yeah. Excited, by the way, that all these guys were going to be in the movie. And was so underwhelmed that I couldn't even bring myself to watch it.
I was a little underwhelmed with the movie, but at the same time, the concept, I'm sure he was sitting around going, hey, you know what would be fucking cool? If I got all these people, I think it would get people excited. And it did. I don't think he was like, oh, God, I'm old. I need all these people back.
I need to relive my glory days.
I don't think that.
I don't know. I got nothing against him. I have nothing against Stallone. I love Stallone. I love a lot of his movies.
I think, personally, Lou caught Stallone sneaking out of his mom's bedroom. Back in the day.
Now, I like his old movies, but he needs to cut it out. I mean,
like, here, kid, here's $25 a Planet Hollywood.
I mean, how many old guys do you know who aren't celebrities who got a tattoo and it was totally cool?
I mean, I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know any old guys who are as jacked up as Sylvester Stallone.
I know. Once you pass like 40 and you're getting tattoos,
my grandfather got his ears pierced at like 60. Something.
Yeah, he did. And he bleached his hair at 60.
Like Harrison Ford with the.
Yeah, he had some earrings. He had a bunch of. He thought he was like a biker for a little while. He was going to Daytona and stuff.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get off this movie. We've had enough fun at Stallone's expense. I'm going to go to one more, and this is a very small movie by comparison. It's a documentary called Sound City, about a recording studio in the San Fernando Valley, which had the most advanced analog console ever made. Artists like Fleetwood Mac, Neil Young, Rick Springfield, Tom Petty, Metallica, Nirvana all recorded at the studio, and it's directed by Dave Grohl of Foo Fighters. And I should also add, Rotten Tomatoes, 100% score.
Wow.
And I've been hearing a lot of interviews about this. They're actually doing concerts with all these guys. Paul McCartney's in it. Like, huge names. They're actually... I think this is one I might want to go.
How many times has that happened, by the way, Rotten Tomatoes giving 100%?
I was going to say, how is that?
Now, possible? It might just be an early release. Sometimes when these come out early, they're a lot higher before the negative ones start trickling
in. Still, how many times do you see the internet without one hater?
Yeah. But as of this date, as of today, when we're recording this, never Rotten Tomatoes, 100%.
I'm going to go on Rotten Tomatoes right now.
I was about to say, that's Lou's deal.
No, I was going to say just to hate, because that's...
Oh, go hate. Hit away, without seeing it.
He's going to be like, I hate the fact that this movie has 100%.
I'm going to do my Lou impression.
Hate.
Foo Fighters, nay.
Dave Grohl just needs to cut it out.
Nirvana.
He's getting too old.
He just needs to stop.
Just saying, everything you bring up has been the most old-ass guys who had a good career. Not so
two
much
movies
anymore.
This week. Two movies came out this week with old guys.
It just happens to be the movies that are coming out this week are just old people.
Yeah. Well, as far as weekly thing.
As far as the the movie, until you said it had 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, I wasn't even interested in this.
Right.
Really?
Especially the learning part.
I would have watched it on Netflix eventually next month.
I love I'm a documentary fanatic.
I like documentaries too, but I said I'll wait for Netflix. I'm not going to go to the theater to see a documentary.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll do theaters necessarily, but definitely this is definitely a watch at some point down the line.
I got burned once. I saw Fahrenheit 9/11. I was like, God damn it.
Oof. Did you?
Yeah.
That's brutal.
I don't think I've ever. Well, that's not true. I saw one documentary in the theaters.
Yeah.
Religious.
That was in the theaters?
That's so worth one. It.
Yeah. For a week before the Jesus freak shut it down.
Yeah. Me and my fellow atheists joined together and went to see that.
I remember the religious people were trying to boycott. What's that Tom Hanks movie where he finds the Holy Grail?
No.
Da Vinci Code.
Da Vinci Code.
They were just hating on it, and I was just like, if anything, it's making people like your religion more in the public eye. It's like a factual fucking movie. It's like. It is what it is. It's a fucking guy's story a guy wrote.
Well, I mean, at this point, I don't want to get too religious about it, but they have to admit some of these stories didn't happen. some of these things, I mean.
But as far as that documentary, I'd be hard-pressed to go see a documentary theater when it's going to probably be on Netflix in the next couple months.
Yeah. What I want to know is, it was the most advanced recording technology and Fleetwood Mac's kind of hit it
back
up
in the day. In the day. At the time, it was.
You're talking about like the 70s and 80s.
The story goes that this board was so great that when Nirvana was recording Nevermind, they requested to go into that particular studio. And that's why Dave Grohl is so involved with it and so into that place.
See, that is very interesting because I saw an interview with Dave Grohl about Nevermind asking whether he would like the digital equipment that they have today for Nevermind. And he said no, because that album had certain little
which came
to it,
which came from that board.
He said that he doesn't like the perfection that they come out with today. He likes the fact that you can hear a guitar
and this
riff.
Particular
a little bit different.
Soundboard gave him the sound he liked.
So it just recorded exactly what they were playing. Maybe not. It didn't spice things up. But
now could this be like a?
I mean, I haven't seen it, so I can't really go too deep into it, but.
Could this be like an old people thing where like vinyl's the best because that's what I had when I was a
kid? Kind of but I agree with him. I agree that the old records that do have certain snaps and pops to them are better than this super hyper polished, auto tuned electronic.
You did grow up in a household where your influences in music were all vinyl, and like you were exposed to a lot of that.
It's true, but I listen to music today, and I get bummed out by it.
Bro, I'm sure, you if you eventually have kids, when they grow up, start listening to music, like the music you're listening to when we were kids, like on, you know, cassettes or whatever, would sound like the, you know, that old timey music you'd hear back from back in the day, like I got something in my pocket. Like it probably sounds
that
just
was like
the
South Park 3 years song? Ago from yeah. South Park.
No, but I'm saying like it would sound like that, like, you know, that shitty old sound where it would be
like, I like
what
some
was
of that
this
man
from 1980.
I'm
old, like,
Mac the Knife still holds up to me.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mac the Knife.
That's a good song.
Well, I'm saying though, like the next generation will probably.
I could see that, but at the same time, I understand where Pete's coming from. Where like I've heard Kesha without,
he just sucks.
They
she
have no
sucks,
talent.
Huh?
You listen to your Rihanna's and your Gaga's, and they don't sound good.
Lady Gaga's got a decent voice, regularly.
Yeah, but they're so overproduced.
Right, and right.
Pep, 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 okay, pep, pep, pep.
Right.
Right. Well, that pretty much wraps it up for the movies this week. I just want to bring up a couple movies that I have seen this week. And if you guys want to chime in on any that you've watched. First one, Lou, I know you saw it, but I saw Wreck-It Ralph.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
I cannot recommend this movie enough. I watched it
really?
I watched it three times yesterday. I fucking love this movie.
As the host of a video game podcast, I have to say that I didn't see it because I thought that all the video games that were referenced were probably in the preview. They
they go a little deeper. They go a lot deeper in the.
He obviously shows up in Gears of War, pretty much. That's,
it's called Heroes Duty, but it's essentially Gears of War.
It's an amalgamage of all of them, but it looks like Gears of War.
And then the other one, Sugar Rush, is essentially Mario Kart.
I saw that.
And then his game is essentially. Fix-It Felix is essentially Donkey Kong.
Mm-hmm.
But there are plenty of cameos by other video game stars.
Are there any ones that you didn't see in the commercial?
Lots of Street Fighter, mm-hmm. Sonic the Hedgehog. There's a point where they go to Game Central Station, which is like the central hub of all the games.
Right.
And I had to pause it to pick out all the faces.
Had a lot of...
lots of references. Yes. And even you look at the walls, and the graffiti on the walls is all video game related. It's like, all your base are belong to us, and like shit like that written on the walls. It's really good, really loyal to video game players. It's a great movie, and it's got a lot of heart. It's fun.
Again, it looked like they showed me just too much in the preview.
No,
I was shocked at how different it went.
Yeah.
Really?
Definitely. Yeah. It seems like he's just going to be game hopping, and no, it's got a real central story.
Who did that, DreamWorks or Pixar?
That's a Disney.
Oh, it's Disney?
Yeah, Disney without... Pixar. Even though John Lasseter of Pixar did produce it.
Right away, tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'll watch it.
Watch it, definitely. It's a great movie, and I enjoyed it quite a bit.
There's a ton of, like, really great small references. Like, you see Ryu and Ken, like, battling, and then, like, they close up the arcade, and they're like, you want to go get a drink? And they show up at Root Beer Tappers.
Yeah.
And I saw that in the preview. Yeah. That was totally in the preview.
Did you?
No,
I didn't
they don't
see
show
that
in the preview.
I didn't see that.
Ryu and Ken, their fight?
I saw that, yeah.
You just hear, Hadouken, Hadouken. Oh, right. You want a drink? If you're buying.
Maybe you guys are talking about the preview before the movie, but that preview is out right now.
I didn't see
it. Could
that.
Be. Could be. But then they do go to Root Beer Tappers, and that was one
and
of my favorite shots in the movie.
Root Beer Tappers in the preview.
And there's some just great voice acting in there, and just the way different game characters move is fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Like, some people are just...
When they're in the early, like old school games, everybody moves really jerky.
They only got so many frames per second.
And then, like, that's one of the big things is when Fix-It Felix goes into Heroes Duty and it's, like, this high-res game. He's like, oh, my God, your resolution. It's so good. Like, they actually play on it. It's a great movie. Watch it.
Nice.
In the video game theme, and while I have, you know, Dan here, I watched the Mass Effect Paragon Lost animated movie based off of the Mass Effect games. Don't watch it.
No.
If you're a Mass Effect super fan,
mm-hmm.
don't watch it.
Which you are. You're a Mass
I'm
Effect
I'm a Mass Effect
super
fan. I hated this movie so much. It's shitty, horrible anime style. It falls into all the traps that makes anime boring and
like,
stupid to me.
Is it like manga anime?
Yeah, very manga. And the main character in it is the character I cared about least from Mass Effect 3, voiced by Freddie Prinze Jr. Like that's
it's just a side?
That's your star
it's
power.
It's just a side?
It's his story of where he was during Mass Effect 2 going into Mass Effect 3.
You know what's a...
Only it's so cliched and anime about everything.
You know what's a pretty good video game movie? That Dead Space one on Netflix.
The first one or the second?
I didn't see the second one yet. The first one.
Aftermath, I think it's called?
Yeah.
I don't think the second one's on Netflix.
Second yet. One's crap. Don't watch the second. First one's good. First
second one's,
kind
of, not on Netflix, right?
I don't think so.
I haven't seen
it. It's because it's awful. It's an awful movie. First one's kind of fun.
I like that one.
I did enjoy that, even though the weapon was different. They turned it into like
they had a chainsaw lightsaber.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was pretty dope. The one chick, you know, you see people just get split in half and shit.
Yeah, they're pretty gory.
Out of nowhere, and it's like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that.
It's pretty violent.
Yeah. And the last movie I watched, just going into Oscar season, I've been compelled to watch some of the more better rated movies. I watched Silver Linings Playbook with Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
The Hunger Games.
Robert De Niro, Jennifer Lawrence. Yeah.
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 What's it even about?
He's mentally unstable. He found his wife cheating on him, and he beat the shit out of the guy and ended up in jail.
And nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Now he's free from jail, but he's emotionally unstable. His dad's a lunatic played by De Niro, who's a bookie, who's obsessed with ritual in sports. And then he meets Jennifer Lawrence's character, and she dances, and she's also crazy.
Sounds boring.
She dances as like, in for a job?
She's like a ballet dancer, and she basically these two crazies get together to sort of balance themselves and find some kind of...
You saw it too?
Yeah, I went with the wife.
I was not thrilled. I mean, if you're a fan, as big a fan as I am of Jennifer Lawrence's ass, kind of worth watching just for the dancing scenes, but really not much going on in this movie. I don't get why it's getting all this buzz.
That shit sounds like a snooze fest.
It had some really boring parts, and they're just so it's just yelling. The whole movie's just yelling.
How was De Niro?
Yelly. Yelled a lot.
Yelly.
Because De Niro, I feel, he almost got pigeonholed there in the early 90s. I think he stepped out as opposed to
I think
who we were
right.
talking about, Pacino and what was the other guy we were talking about?
Walking.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're right.
I think Pacino and Pesci almost got pigeonholed without
Pesci
that.
Pesci hasn't
series.
Acted in a movie, and he's 70 something years old. He's not
right. And now we know why. Because they got pigeonholed in these mobster movies, and I think De Niro has really been stepping it out. Of course, with the Meet the Parents movies.
Yeah. Well, I don't care for those movies, but I do agree with you that he has a little bit more range lately.
Yeah.
And he's good in the movie. I don't want to take away from that. I just felt during the whole movie there was no consequences to anything. I mean, the whole thing is that his dad's a bad gambler.
Okay, I was just curious about De Niro because I saw him in Stardust. And when he plays a gay pirate, I mean, like, I love that movie, but I recommended it to my father, and my father was like, De Niro, gay pirate?
You don't want
No.
You want Travis Bickle.
Right. He was like, I can't do it.
You want Goodfellas, good old-fashioned.
But God bless him for doing it, you know? God bless him
for
doing
chances.
It.
He's done some shit, but he's got some good ones, and I thought he was good in this. He just yells a lot.
He's still relevant.
And by the end of the movie, I was just like, God, everyone just shut up for a minute. Like, they just scream about everything.
You know, they promoted it a little weird, because, you know, in the commercial, you don't expect him to be... as much of a as emotionally unstable as he actually is.
Yeah, he's really damaged.
He stays that way throughout.
You
expect him to get better by the end, and really the only thing that happens by the end is they find some kind of happiness.
He's a slightly better dancer.
They're still crazy as shit.
Yeah. Both of them.
Sorry for the spoiler alert. I don't think I really see anybody.
I don't know anything about the movie from seeing it, but I didn't even see any them being crazy. They almost look like a young couple that was just in love.
No, that's why the ads completely do a disservice.
It seems like a young couple bought a house or something.
Exactly,
like
but they eliminate the best part of the movie, which is where they're both batshit insane. Always getting the cops called on them. And the movie wasn't great, but the acting was really good. I'll give them that.
It's solid performances. But
all around.
That's another thing. Like I will say... it got nominated for like best actor and actress, also best supporting actor and actress, which it says something. But I think, you know, Hollywood is a little too eager to throw that around when someone is either playing gay when they're not, or when someone's playing mentally retarded or unstable when they're not.
Well, you got to go half. You know, you can't go full retard.
I'm just saying, like, whenever someone's like, oh, he played a great retarded guy.
Well, you know what it is?
Give him the award.
Yeah. I think people fail to realize that it's just a depiction of the script that they're going on. I mean, like, yeah. They're supposed to be, you know, you get the award because you're believable as a character. Not necessarily that the character's interesting, even. Just that you're believable as a character.
Yeah,
itself.
And I bought all their characters. I thought especially Jennifer Lawrence was really good.
Now, did you forget her as Jennifer Lawrence at
all? Yeah, I did.
There you go. There you
I have
go.
A little What's... crush on that one, and she took me right out of it.
Really? I think there's something odd about her face.
We've had this conversation before. You're stupid.
No, she's got like a super thin...
Are you
going to
say
she
Boba?
Looked
down
so
body.
Fucking good in that movie.
She's got like chunky cheeks, like she's fucking storing food in there.
Yeah, and it's cute.
I think she's got...
I think they're a better looking chick.
Just watch the movie. She looks great in the movie. She looks fantastic in it, and she acts the shit out of it. She's really good in it.
Everybody's
I thought she was
got,
the highlight.
Everybody's got their own style, though. Quick, around the room, hottest actress right now, Pete.
Jennifer Lawrence. Sorry, Brian. Or Emma Stone. One
Brian.
Of those two.
No, one of the two. One of the two.
I'm on a Jennifer Lawrence kick.
Brian.
Actress is stretched here with Brooklyn Decker.
I don't know who that is.
She's a model who occasionally pops into movies.
She was really awesome
with huge
in the
boobs.
I don't even know who she is.
And she was
awesome
in
the
Battleship.
The League.
Oh, she was in the League too.
She
yeah,
was funny in the League.
Yeah, she was Wait. Funny in there.
All right, well, Wait, I'm gonna shy away from that because Battleship was mentioned. Lou,
I gotta bring up the girl's name of someone I think.
What's she in?
I was honestly the most interested in Lou's.
Yeah, I want to see what Lou's
got
is.
Nitpicky at.
What's the name of that show with Don Cheadle right now?
Like he's always
Kristen
like
Bell.
But
Kristen
the
Bell.
Kristen Bell.
I think she looks good.
Oh, she's good.
Kristen Bell, you pick out small instances of people, and you pick out Kristen Bell.
Yeah. Bring him a picture of her. Dispute
no,
that.
No, she's good looking.
Yeah.
I like
she's
her.
She's like 4 feet tall.
And probably 83 pounds. But
and I'm like 5 feet tall. Like, that's not exactly a stretch
Fuck
for
Jennifer
me.
Fuck Jennifer Lawrence, that fucking Amazon.
Right.
All right, I was just interested.
Tall ass bitch.
Yeah. Well, before we go to do any other movies that you guys saw that you want to talk about? Or
Jeez, I've seen nothing this week.
I no? saw Independent Game. Was it Independent Video Game?
Oh, Indie Game the Movie.
Indie Game the Movie, man. It's basically about these two sexy guys that are going to make their own games independently. And
two sexy guys?
No, they're actually ugly. These two
Isn't that what
sex.
I heard sexy.
I heard sexy too.
All right. Well, anyway,
these
two
the Freudian
these,
slip.
These three guys, two different games, right? Are making a movie. I'm sorry, making
it's
a
documentary.
A documentary. They're making a video game. And
quick, who's the hottest guy in Hollywood?
oh man, George Clooney. And it shows all like the trials that indie guys have to go through to make a game, and there's so much pressure because there's only two people in the company. But you know, they're all making all the money though too. But it was getting my blood pressure up just because like there's so many pitfalls they had to go through and shit just didn't work, and they had to take so much time to do anything because they could only rely on each other.
And did they let you know what game they were producing?
Yeah.
Well, one was Meat Boy.
Super Meat Boy.
I knew that did well.
That already did well, though,
yeah.
Right? Well,
yeah, but it traces the development.
I'm right? sorry. I'm just interested because it's a video game.
No, Braid, you should watch it. It's fun.
Braid was one of them, right?
Braid was in there. Yeah.
Braid was very successful also.
Yeah, but this is already, like, he wasn't one of the game makers. This guy mm-hmm. is already a success, and they're just showing him a little bit. And this other guy made a game called Fez, which is, I think, nominated for a Game Award this year.
Maybe. I never heard
2012.
Of it,
so. Visually, it's like a 2D game that's 3D. Where you could change the view of the game to show you the other side of like each side of the world.
Oh, nice, nice content.
But it's still 2D, right? Yep.
Right.
And visually, it is very impressive, but it's very, very kind of like nothing going on type game. It's like a puzzle, mm-hmm. like how do I get to the top of this fucking thing? You don't fight anything. You don't try to like it. Just it looks very boring, but it looks visually great.
Yeah. If you guys are into this movie, it's on Netflix. Streaming.
Yeah, it's
I'm totally came. Into it, man.
Yeah, it's a good watch, especially since we're an independent comic book publisher. It's mm-hmm. nice to see a little love paid to the independents.
Maybe we can get a movie.
Yeah.
The best part about the flick, though, is when the Meat Boy got released and it was on Xbox Live, and they were seeing their downloads go up, and these guys had put so much work into it, and they just didn't have words to say about it. But you could see in their face, they were just so relieved to be done with it and how much of a success it was. And it was just like a really good moment. Like you see how happy they were, but just so like just you know relieved that it made it. You know,
Nice.
Yeah,
man.
It's a pretty charming movie by the end that you feel
this
so much.
This was the original Meat Boy coming out.
Yeah, this is those guys who made Meat Boy, Super Meat Boy.
Okay.
They give you they start off with a brief backstory about who they were and how they came together and why they want to make that kind of game.
Nice, man.
And it was really nice, to see how they took it from point A to point B and to point C, and then I remember just the day it was coming out, it wasn't on Xbox Live. They were working so hard because they had to get it out by a certain time to be on the screen, the Xbox Live screen where they show you what's hot. And
right.
They had to make a certain date. They made it, and then they wake up in the morning and it wasn't on that thing, and they were just the guys flipping out. He's like, "It's not on that thing. It's not. No one's gonna buy because no one." Like, you have to look for it.
Right. Yeah. Right. When you turn on the Xbox, it's right in your face.
Yeah, so it was just, it was kind of like that part in that Will Smith movie where he fucking, with his, what was it?
Pursuit of Happiness?
Pursuit of Happiness, when he makes it at the end and you can see that in his face, whatever. But, but this was like a real life.
A real story. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Since great, it's
a doc.
Yeah, I definitely recommend
it. Yeah, Dan,
that.
You would like it. You should check it out.
Yeah, that's
it
what
sounds
I
like it. Yeah. I saw Rango this weekend. It's an old movie, but
the Johnny Depp lizard movie.
Yeah, it was
I liked it.
It was great.
I liked the animation. Cool. Looked cool.
Yeah, because it's gritty and ugly.
Nothing you expected.
Yeah.
He had no name, and then the man with no name shows up to give him advice. I thought that was great. I love it when they throw in old. At one point Rango hits a early in the movie, so I'm not ruining anything. He hits the windshield of Johnny Depp from
Fear and Loathing.
Fear and Loathing. I love it.
Oh,
I love
that.
That
was a great sick touch. Little tie-in.
Yeah,
yeah,
Tim.
It was great.
Hits the windshield, and it's him as Hunter S. Thompson and Benicio del Toro in the car.
Too bad he wasn't with a character being voiced by Benicio del Toro. That would have been like the complete mind blow.
It was a nice touch.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, he did the voice for him.
Yeah,
but Then they keep on talking about the Spirit of the West, and the Spirit of the West shows up, and it's Clint Eastwood balls on in the Man with No Name outfit, and
yep.
I loved it.
Yeah, it's a good movie. I thought it was going to be a stupid kids movie, and I watched it and loved it.
So did I. I started watching it with my daughter.
You watched it with the kid?
And she went to sleep, and I was like, I'm going to finish this movie.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of those animated movies, you think they're just going to be for kids. And like I thought that for sure.
That was my Wreck-It Ralph experience.
Finding Nemo, dude, I was just like,
any Pixar.
This is stupid, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't watch a movie about no fish. And then I watched it, and I was like, I love these fish.
Well, if Lou doesn't have anything, we can move on. You got anything?
Movies? No, I haven't seen anything really recently.
All right.
Yeah, but I was staring at your DVD rack. Why is Birdemic by far the tallest DVD you have?
Because
that's an actual DVD, not a Blu-ray.
Oh, I was going to say, because it's really sticking out, like making everything else lopsided and shit.
That's what Birdemic does. It makes everything weird.
Just ruins the entire DVD shelf.
It does. It's such an awful movie.
The only reason I have Birdemic is because I heard it was ridiculous, and Riff Trax did it. So I was like, all right, I'll check it out.
Okay. Speaking of Riff Trax, I have a quick thing here that I want to get into, and
sure.
That's Riff Trax has released a user-based list of the 25 worst movies of all time.
Yeah.
And I thought it might be fun to just pour through some of the titles real quick. And I'm pulling it up now. Now, so this is from the people of Riff Trax, rifftrax.com, our favorite. Those who used to do Mystery Science Theater. So I'm just going to run through the names and try them off. Starting with 25, a movie I've never heard of, Santa and the Ice Cream Bunny.
I seen that. That was they did that on Riff Trax. That is
I imagine they did all these in Riff Trax.
But it's the whole point of this movie is that Santa's fucking sled crash lands into a beach, and all of a sudden he starts telling these kids that are trying to help him out of the sand the story of Thumbelina, and then they go into Thumbelina. They do the whole story of Thumbelina. Then he stops, and then the fucking Easter Bunny comes by and helps him out, and then he fucking saves Christmas. I don't know, but he gets out of the sand.
Going to keep moving. Number 24, The Wicker Man. This is, of course, the Nick Cage version.
The best part of that flick is when that he dresses a bear and hits that lady.
When he punches that chick in the bear suit. Yeah.
How many movies has Nick Cage done? Are they all the rest of the 24 movies?
You can do a top 25 Nick Cage.
Yeah. Number 23, Plan 9 from Outer Space.
That is brilliant.
It's brilliantly
bad. I only
know
it from Seinfeld.
Is that the one with the where it's like cross-dressers the whole time?
No.
And they film the thing inside one cheesy-looking spaceship?
No.
That's an Ed Wood movie, though.
Yeah. It's an Ed Wood movie with aliens bringing the dead back to life, but it's done horribly. It's the one you see it all the time made fun of, where the UFOs are just plates with
is
fishing
that
line.
The one that they make fun of on that cartoon, you know what I'm talking about. They had it on Adult Swim with the illustrator who lived with his little brother.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, and then he had the bearded friend.
That's oh, you're talking about Mission Hill?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they were spoofing.
That's actually an iconic film, because that's how Dracula got – because Bela Lugosi died before the movie was like even made. It was, he just took stock footage of Bela, right? And he labeled him in the movie. And that's how Dracula got – you know, he comes with this cape above his face. That was because they didn't have Bela Lugosi in the flick.
So they cast like another guy who was like 4 feet taller and 20 years younger to just walk around with the cape over his face.
Because the top part of his kind of looked like Bela.
Nice.
And that became part of like Dracula, where like you see in cartoons and stuff like that, Dracula would come up on people like that. So it's kind of
a really bad movie that's fun to watch with a group of people.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Number 22, I'm sorry, Dan, Battleship.
Nice.
I know you didn't want to hear any more about that.
I can't. I'm at my fill.
Number 21, Manos, Hands of Fate.
That was a fucking fantastic flick.
It's great, right?
I didn't see it.
It's so terrible.
It has an editing clip that just cracks me up, where they're sitting in a car, and then their kid's not there. And then, like, the kid's back. It's just like, it's just the editing of faux pas or whatever.
And Torgo.
Oh, my God.
Torgo. He's supposed to be a centaur, but it looks like they just filled his pants with stuffing.
I haven't seen it.
It's awful. Number 20, Transformers, Dark of the Moon.
Is that the second
really?
One?
Number 2.
That's top 25 worst? That was entertaining.
Is that the one?
I think by worst, they mean most disappointing and upsetting.
Is that the one where Optimus gets in that giant battle at the end and he actually...
Where Optimus dies and they bring him back.
It's with those two little black robots. They're like, you ain't going to mess with me.
That wasn't that bad. I think Dark Side of the Moon was third.
Watch it again.
Oh, Dark of the Moon is Dark three. Moon is I'm third. Thinking Revenge of the Fallen.
Yeah, that's two.
Yeah, Dark of the Moon is three, where it's a three-hour movie and the only parts worth watching are the last half hour.
See, I didn't see the third one. Because,
skip the whole movie. Get to the last half hour, because that's where there's robots fighting robots. Otherwise, it's a bunch of Shia LaBeouf's new girlfriend, who's also a Victoria's Secret model, walking into a room, and every man just starts humping tables.
That's why
and turning into
it.
Wolf heads.
That's why I didn't
like
see
the
it.
Mask.
That was so weird.
It wasn't as bad as that. Like they weren't like going crazy like that.
They're like, apparently it was. You know, like just humping the table. It's bad. Right. Number 19, Eragon. Does anybody remember this one?
It's like a dragon movie.
This
right?
one broke my heart because I like
book
the books.
Series is great.
I like the books, and that movie's so bad. You want to watch Malkovich really fuck up a movie? Boom.
And I love
that.
He plays
like
the villain who's not even in the book at this point. Mm-hmm. Ugh, piece of crap.
That looked like a bad movie when I saw the preview for it.
You guys will like this one. Number 18, The Happening.
That was so... What? No.
No.
What? No.
What?
No.
It's the wind.
Marky Mark was fantastic in that.
Fucking awful.
My Shyamalan's finest.
It's people running away from a... Stiff breeze.
Mm-hmm. To quote Riff Tracks, wouldn't it be great if it was just M. Night Shyamalan on the side of the set going...
Number 17. Hope you guys have seen this because it's great. The Room.
Oh, my God. With
Tommy Wiseau.
Oh, so sorry, dog.
Oh, hi, Mark.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, hi, doggy. Don't worry about it. It's terrible. It's filmed on like $20 and... This guy really thinks he's like this weird, dubious European dude. He actually thinks he made a masterpiece.
Nice. You mean the one where like the guy dubs his own voice, so it's doubly bad?
Yeah. Do yourself a favor.
Oh, hi.
If you haven't seen this movie, YouTube right now, The Room flower shop scene. Oh, hi, doggy. Like the whole conversation he has with the florist, it's like they recorded it backwards.
Dude.
And then played it back at the wrong speed.
When you do that voice, the only thing I can think of is fucking the Blue Movie guy.
Oh, Tony Paris from Blue Movie?
Dude, he is Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah, they look alike, too.
They should, see, when he does that voice, spoof. I think of Edna Mole from...
What's that from?
From The Incredibles.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a little bit of that, but every line, every time somebody enters the room, it's, oh, hi, Dan. Oh, hi.
Right.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about
it.
Oh, hi. All right, moving on. 16, X-Men, The Last Stand.
Is that the third one?
Number 3.
That did stink.
Piece of crap.
Suck.
killing Cyclops for no reason, killing Professor X for no reason.
Killing Beast for no reason.
No, he was in there. He lived.
Was he?
Yeah.
They killed that guy. Kelsey Grammer killed Beast.
Making the Juggernaut look ridiculous like a dick.
Right. Vinny Jones. Plus, referring a YouTube joke about
the Juggernaut, bitch. Yeah, stupid.
And him being a mutant.
No, I like that. Yeah, I'll defend that to the death.
No, and plus, they had the girl who can shut off mutant powers, and she's not the one who stops.
It was a boy.
It's a guy.
Little
whatever.
Boy.
It's a boy.
And he's not the one who stops Jean Grey?
No, he's the one who stops Juggernaut.
I thought they were building up to that. Like, it's the only person who could stop her is the person who has the power to stop her.
I'll defend Juggernaut being a mutant to the death in that movie.
Yeah, if you went into the crystal...
For real, right, I'm going to have to watch 20 minutes, a half an hour of him falling some stupid thing, touching the mystic gem with Sidorak.
Fine.
Yeah, that would
all right, so there's that, but...
Stanley's a genius.
People forget
with
this.
With that whole, he was just born with that shit. Let's
the guy had a fucking protective helmet, and he gets defeated by bonking his fucking head.
He's a beautiful man. I mean, he has to protect Jones.
At least that, like... Say that's fucking ridiculous.
Well, that was kind of a nod to the comics that they ripped off his helmet anyway. Yeah, that's what they usually do.
But we could do an hour on this, so I'm going to keep moving to number 15, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
All I can say is gay.
It's so sad to watch that movie.
That movie sucked. I remember...
Like South Park said, it's like watching your childhood friend get raped.
I remember looking to you in the theater being like, they're going to whip out some aliens, man. I'm over this movie.
The aliens weren't my problem with
it. That wasn't
the
problem.
Everybody had a problem with it, but I find drinking out of the cup of Jesus and turning into an old man just as implausible as aliens. It was everything else in the movie.
Who cares about the plausible? It doesn't work in Indiana Jones' world.
That movie didn't work in any respect. He survives.
It doesn't work in our world right now.
He survives a nuke by hiding in a fridge. People are eaten by giant ants. Shia LaBeouf swinging through the trees with monkeys. Like,
that was stupid.
Everything about it's dumb. It's so dopey.
The aliens are the worst part. By far the worst part.
Poorly executed. I'll say that much.
There shouldn't have been aliens in it.
So we all agree. Right. It's a fucking stinker.
Number 14, Troll 2.
That was a classic of all.
I love that movie so much.
They're going to eat her. Nothing to eat me.
Oh my God. The corn sex scene is my favorite.
That movie's called Troll 2, but it's not a sequel to anything.
No, and there's a Troll 1, but it has nothing to do with Troll 2.
But that movie wasn't like a sequel to anything.
No, they're in the movie. They're not even trolls. They're goblins. Yeah. In fact, they live in a town called Nilbog, which is goblin backwards. Awful movie. You don't pee on hospitality. No. Number 13, Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace.
That's number one.
Yeah,
by far.
I've watched it recently. You forget just how bad that movie is.
It was boring as fuck. It was like 3 hours of like negotiating like peace treaties in space. Like, who fucking cares? And then he has an hour and a half pod race.
Yep. Number 12, Birdemic, Shock and Terror. We just brought it up. Wow.
That shit was like a CD-ROM movie, bro. That it has the special effects in that. Little kids on their iPads can do better special effects.
Yeah, it was clip art. And 45 minutes, they didn't even get to a bird.
My favorite line in that from the Rich Tracks was, you could make this look better in post, right?
When they're swinging coat hangers at bad CGI birds, and they're like not even close.
The birds fly by just flapping their wings. They don't move left and right. They just stay in the air like this. And they're sitting swinging hangers at the fucking birds, man. It looked terrible.
Nice.
Number 11, I think this is the first one on the list I have not seen. High School Musical.
I haven't seen that.
Anybody have anything they could weigh on this one?
Yeah, I saw the South Park episode.
Yeah. I know they spawned like 3 sequels to that shit.
Right.
All right. Well, skipping it then. Back to it. Number 10, Transformers, Revenge of the Fallen. Number 2.
Wow, that was worse than the third one?
Yep.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to give my favorite Riff Tracks line on that. There's a point where there's a bulldog humping a chihuahua. Because that movie's just filled with things humping other things,
right.
Like 9 instances. And they just go, wow, that chihuahua is just a metaphor for the audience, and the bulldog's a metaphor for the screenwriter.
I could go for like a whole episode ripping that shit up.
That's a terrible movie. Number 9, fast forward, Son of the Mask.
I never saw
with
it.
With Jamie
Kennedy
and some of the worst effects you've ever seen.
I saw half of that because I'm not ashamed to turn off a movie.
I will at least bring up that one documentary with the with comedians who get heckled.
Heckler. That's a good one.
They bring up where he's interviewing a guy who rips on Son of the Mask, and they're getting so uncomfortable. Like,
well, the reason he was going after that guy was not because of the review of Son of the Mask. That movie's terrible.
Yeah.
He was saying, like, in the review, it said Jamie Kennedy should die.
Right.
And that's what he took offense to.
But it was great. Like, the people were just like, It's like, why do you want me to die, man? What did I ever do to you?
Oh, he actually called up the reviewer?
He's sitting in a room with the reviewers.
Right in front of him.
Yeah.
They agreed with that?
Another really good documentary on Netflix. You should watch
that one. Was great.
Did they trick this man into coming into the room?
No, he came in. He came in going like, fuck Jamie Kennedy. And he really stuck to his guns.
And
did he know
Jamie Kennedy was going to be in that room?
Yeah. Wow. He was like, I'm going to tear this guy apart. And he just comes across like such an asshole. Because Jamie Kennedy's like, I didn't do anything to you. I did a movie you didn't like. Like, why do you want me to die? Speaking of wanting to die, number 8, Adam Sandler's Jack and Jill.
Never saw it. Looked like awful.
Nah, it looked terrible.
On a side note, you know, he's dressing as a woman. If you ever Google a picture of his kid, it looks like that.
Oh, that's sad.
No joke. Bad.
I actually heard that meant that day I was going out with Adam Sandler's sister right now.
All right, well, we're up to number 7. I'm going to kind of breeze through the last few here, but there's some good ones. Number 7, Battlefield Earth. Awesome.
That's just basically the history of Scientology,
yeah,
right?
It is so bad. And John Travolta, his performance in that movie is worth watching the movie just for his acting.
Wow.
I could have been the king of the galaxy. Whatever his fucking lines are, it's so bad.
He's a guy
so
who weird. Just went right down the toilet.
Number 6, Super Mario Brothers, the movie.
That's not number 1.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Surprisingly.
That movie had nothing to do with anything.
A post-apocalyptic wasteland, Mushroom Kingdom.
It wasn't
run
even,
by
had nothing to do with the
Dennis
game.
Hopper as a Bowser who just had weird hair.
And I love how they decided to make the Mario's last name also Mario.
Mario. Yeah, and Mario is Italian, who's played by an Australian, and Luigi is John Leguizamo, who's clearly
who
Hispanic.
Is your fucking boy.
And no mustache on him, even.
Was it why couldn't they even use the last name Brothers? Would have been more clever than Mario. Like,
or Amigo.
And Nintendo has spoken out like, that was not our idea. We didn't.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was awful.
How did you lose the concept of the two plumbers from New York just doing shit in the Mushroom Kingdom? Like, they were like.
And the end of the movie was basically the princess was not in this castle. Go on and try and find her another.
She wasn't even captured, right? She just fucking.
Yeah, she was. At the end of the movie, Bowser was like, oh, come and get her. And then the credits.
Yeah, for some reason,
they
he
were
turned,
so confident in that fucking shitty movie that they were going to have a sequel.
He turned her dad into a pile of mushroom fungus. Awful.
Never.
Who cares? What's number 4?
Number 5, The Last Airbender.
Yeah.
Another Shyamalan.
Yeah.
Ruined a show that's very near and dear to me.
Yeah, I had an argument with somebody about that. They said that it was pretty balls on to the.
Not
series.
Even.
It's not, I saw the series also.
Close. Well, I've said it before on the show. They didn't even get the characters' names right.
No.
Wasn't Aang?
His name is Aang and Sokka, and they go Aang and Sokka. They couldn't even give you that.
He specifically had them say it wrong at that point.
Why?
Shit. I don't know.
I think the biggest thing they did to the movie was they made it totally boring.
It's terrible. The effects are bad. The storytelling's bad. The characters are unlikable. Everything that was good about the show, they took away.
You love the characters
Moving on.
That he learns. Yeah, you're right.
Number 4, Spider-Man 3.
Oh, the gayest.
We can all agree that movie's awful.
So
that's
down.
Another one
so
like
down.
I
There's
could go on forever.
Heartbreakingly bad because I love the others.
Too many Marvel characters crying for me.
Every character in that movie cries or dances.
I've discussed it with, I think, everybody at this table. What I really wish would have happened when what really killed the movie for me, and it was already bad, was when Spider-Man looks at Venom and he's like, you don't have to be bad. And I really, really, really wanted that. We like being bad. And Toby...
You mean something true to the comic book?
Topher Grace looks at him and goes, I like being bad. And I was like, I'm done with you, Venom. I'm done with you, movie Venom.
Yeah.
Where's the Wii? Where there was not one reference to Wii.
Yeah. No, nothing with the symbiote.
Right. And like I said, I'm not.
Why Topher Grace?
I don't know.
Yeah. Could have been anybody else.
It should have been the other guy.
Well, I think that I
heard Sandman would have been a better Venom.
That they originally wanted to cast him as Spider-Man, But since they didn't, they sort of bumped him over to Venom.
He would have been okay. But Venom's supposed to be a big guy, a beefier guy. But we've talked about it in the show before. I don't want to go too deep into
it. Keep moving.
But for all the talking about how much I love comic book movies, continuing with the theme number three, Catwoman.
Didn't see it. Didn't want to see it.
I thought that that wasn't officially a comic book movie.
It's just called Catwoman. It's got the DC logo.
It really wasn't. They had a whole different...
It's not even Selina Kyle.
Right.
It's Halle Berry in a cat suit, which still can't even save that piece of shit.
And what was the concept? She got nine lives from the cats, right? They like all gave her the
That was Michelle Pfeiffer's. I don't remember what it was in Catwoman.
Yeah, yeah. The cat
I just remember she was after Sharon Stone, who was a makeup mogul or something.
Right.
Really bad. Oh. And number two, Batman and Robin.
That was funny as hell.
If you watch it as a comedy.
He's like, freeze in hell, Batman.
No, that's my favorite line of the movies. Freeze in hell, Bird Boy.
Schwarzenegger brought his comic genius and timing into this movie, and George Clooney was hilarious in it. Really, the only the weak point was Chris O'Donnell.
Yeah.
You had Alicia Silverstone still looking fine. I think this is a masterpiece of suck.
I'll say this. It really sucked. I'd watch it again. Oh, How about that?
Watch it a few times. Yeah. Watch it with riff tracks, and it's actually bearable.
At what point did those Batman movies like just have the most random fucking like henchmen? Like,
oh, that was yeah. He had the ice skating dudes.
Like he came.
They were obviously on rollerblades.
And the early Bane, who was a big dum dum.
That guy died of a heart attack about a month after the movie came out.
Yeah. Karma. He saw it. He was like, ah.
That's fucked up. Oh, all right, number one. And I feel like it's almost a cheat to call this number one, but they lumped them all in together, and it's the entire Twilight Saga.
Those are pretty shitty movies.
Yeah, that makes sense.
They give the best description of it actually on RiffTracks.com, where they boil it down to mumble, 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 moon eyes. Mumble, 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 lay in a field. Mumble, 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 perv on a baby. Mumble. That's pretty much the whole series, right?
Pretty much.
We already went into this, so I don't want to go into it again, but fuck those movies, man.
Yeah, they're not that good.
So go to RiffTracks.com for more of that. Definitely all of those movies are better with RiffTracks. So I don't mind throwing them the plug because I'm a huge fan of RiffTracks.
They're not
I think most of us, right?
They're not
Yeah, definitely.
We're getting nothing for plugging them, but they are great.
No, but I love and respect them, so they get it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to end here with Fill Up My DVR. We're just going to go through some TV shows. This is what premiered this week. I don't know if anybody watched any of these. Two shows in particular. One, The Americans, premiered on FX.
I heard bad things about it in the paper that it just was just done bad. And it was just not very interesting or stupid.
I watched the first episode.
How was it?
Slow.
Well, I'm not going to kill a show for the first episode being slow. Yeah. You got to build the world.
Again, I'm not going to judge like we did with The Following last week, which I still haven't watched episode two even. But they made the series premiere an hour and a half, and nothing happens. It's not interesting.
It's like an espionage.
There's some really long, drawn-out sex scenes that just take way too long. And you could tell they were using those to beef them up to an hour and a half. But since it's TV...
What are you, a two-pump chum, bro? You
can't... No, you can't.
It's like, this guy unrealistically lasted at least 3 minutes. Yeah.
They're so drawn out that I couldn't even get into the third minute of it. No, it's TV. It's cable. You can't even show anything interesting. It's a lot of close-ups of people making out.
Plus, I don't want to see Carrie Russell in a sex scene now. Maybe when she was in Felicity like 10 years ago.
And it's really kind of uninteresting. It's like they want to go for a Homeland thing, but it's definitely not Homeland.
Homeland was all right.
I felt the same way about this. I couldn't really follow the plot too closely.
I didn't see the show.
And I'm like, they're sleeper agents for the KGB in America, and I'm thinking, like, are we supposed to root for the KGB? Like, I didn't get it. It wasn't that good. The other one I didn't watch was on NBC, Do No Harm, which is essentially a retelling of Dr. Jekyll, I think.
Oh, yeah. Actually, that sounded kind of interesting. I kind of wanted to watch the first episode at least to see if it was Jekyll-based, like if he drank something or what it was. Yeah.
You know, it sounded cool, but I heard that it actually got something like the least amount of viewers that a premiere episode has in, like, the history of TV.
Oh, so the second one's just not coming back.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's going to get tanked real quick.
If you want to watch a decent show along the same lines, there's a BBC show live streaming on Netflix called Jekyll.
Okay.
It's a little better.
To be honest with you, I never heard of the show until you just messaged it.
I tried watching that. It didn't play well with me. I didn't like their lead.
The lead's a bit of a tough pill.
Yeah.
And that's it for new shows. I just wanted to say two things. What's currently on, I like Girls on HBO. Season 2 has been pretty strong. They're going on episode 4. And next week, some things that definitely interest us. A, The Walking Dead returns.
Yeah, they weren't going to come back this week. This Sunday's a little...
definitely not on Super Bowl Sunday. Yeah. And Lou, next week, the premiere on Sci-Fi of Battlestar Galactica, Blood and Chrome, which is the prequel to Battlestar Galactica.
Are the people from Spartacus doing it?
Oh, yeah. Similar name.
Blood and Sand.
You mentioned... what do you call it? How's that video game we were talking about before?
I know we have a whole video game podcast.
Yeah.
Talked about a bunch of them.
The space one.
Mass Effect?
When people ask me what, like, about Battlestar, I'm like, if Mass Effect were like a TV show, it's pretty much Battlestar.
I love Battlestar so much.
Love it.
The last series was so good.
I never saw any of it.
I saw like the first half of the first season. It was good. Hmm.
Yeah, definitely worth a watch. And this new one looks kind of cool. It's a prequel. It follows like Edward James Olmos, Commander Adama, as a young man during the first Cylon War.
Oh, so it's back. It's going to the first Cylon War.
Yeah, it's a prequel. And that's it for TV stuff. I don't know. You guys got anything to add?
Nothing. Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
And every big blockbuster is going to premiere tomorrow. Like, you're going to see all the trailers.
That's right.
So I'm pretty jacked about that.
Yeah, keep an eye out. There's some cool commercials coming out. I did a little looking. You're going to see some Pacific Rim.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah, you're going to see some... I forgot the other ones. There's a bunch.
I heard you're going to see a couple racist commercials.
Yep, that was in the news.
Yeah, that was...
VW did a Jamaican commercial.
People getting up in arms about, like, oh my God, we were almost represented, and now...
Right.
We're angry.
And then a Coca-Cola did a commercial where, like, an Arab guy was riding a camel, and the Arab people were up in arms like, we don't ride camels.
They rode their camels.
If not you, then who? Who's riding camels?
It's not like they were on a magic carpet with dynamite strapped to them or with big, fancy Aladdin turbans.
Well, I mean, I'd pay to see that.
So let's close it up. What did we learn this week?
What did we learn this week, man? What I learned this week is that garbage cans are pretty aerodynamic. I'm sorry. Garbage cans can take flight because during that windstorm we had, it launched my garbage cans like 3 blocks down, man. Yeah. I just found both of them.
This past week here in New York, we had a windstorm that freakishly reminded me of the hurricane.
Yeah, because
I lost a lot of branches.
Dude, my garbage cans were gone. I actually thought I was going to have to go before the Super Bowl buy brand new garbage cans, but like my garbage can, well, and it was crazy because they didn't go the same way. One went like down one street, the other one down the other street. It was insane.
And what else did we learn? I learned that it's 12:30. I'm pretty tired, so let's wrap it up.
All right.
So follow us on Twitter at PIBComics. Hit us up on email, paintedblackcomics@gmail.com. Check us out on paintedblackcomics.com. You see the trend here. Painted Black Comics on Facebook. Be sure to check out Brian's show, Disenfranchised, on podbean.com and iTunes. And Twitter him at DFranchised. And be sure to check out Dan's show, A-Squad, the video game podcast, where we actually do a little guesting this week.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the Twitter for that one?
The Twitter is A-Squad Gamers.
At A-Squad Gamers.
You can hit me up online, too, on Xbox. Rise Like Phoenix.
Rise Like Phoenix. That's F-E-N-I-X. Sure. For Phoenix. And for that matter, hit me up too, Max Barracuda.
And you can call Lou at his home number at 631.
That's it. So for Painted Black Comics, for myself, Pete Berg, for Brian Katz, Dan Pilkar, and Lou
like
Figueroa.
Phoenix.
Rise Like Phoenix. Close the door behind you.
Peace.